Welcome to Charity Mechanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Ruchama Welcher and today we'll be studying Koheles Perek Zion, Chapter 7. The previous chapter ended off with Koheles asking, considering that life and physicality is so transient and death overshadows everything, what is good for man in life? Ma tov. And the Medrash tells us that this Perek begins with answers to this question of Koheles. In the first 8 psukim, we have the words tov 7 times. These are the things that are good for man. It's a long perek, it's 29 psukim long, and we'll try and cover the main themes and ideas. And the first theme in the first 4 psukim are about death and mourning. So firstly, tov shem mishemen tov. A good name is better than good oils that were used to anoint and preserve dead bodies in the olden days. Your good name will do much more for you in terms of preserving your legacy, say Rashi and the Alshech, after you've passed away, than good oils will do in terms of preserving your body. V'yom hamoves miyom hivoldoi. And the day of death is better than the day of birth. Because when a person is born, you don't know how their life is going to turn out. The Medrash brings an analogy of the ship leaving the harbour. And when it leaves the harbour, everybody's nervous. They don't know, is the voyage going to be successful? Is it going to make it to its destination? But when it comes into the harbour, then it's a time for celebration at the end of a voyage, because then you know it's been successful. And in the same way, when a person is born, we don't know how their life is going to turn out. We celebrate their day of birth, but we don't know how it's going to be. But the day of death, that's truly a day of celebration for a life that was well spent. And Rashi brings examples of people in history where their day of death was so much more acknowledged than their day of birth. The day of birth was obscure. The day that Miriam was born, the day that Aaron was born, we have no mention. We don't know when they were born. There's no mention of what happened when they were born. But on their day of death, everybody knew about it. On the day that Miriam died, the well stopped providing water. On the day Aaron died, there were no Ma'anani HaKavod, everybody felt it. So the day of death is more significant than the day of birth. Although, just to note, that it's the opposite with Rishayim, with wicked people. On the day of birth, there's so much potential for what they can do in their lives. But on the day of death, when they've lived a wicked life, their wickedness is confirmed. And at that point, it's too late for them to do anything. So in that case, the day of birth is actually better than the day of death. This theme of death and mourning continues in the second pasuk. Tov lalechas al beis evel milechas al beis mishteh. It's preferable to go to a house of mourning than to go to a house of feasting. Better spend times in shiva houses and funerals than in parties. First of all, because as the pasuk continues, ba'asher hu soif kol ha'adam, because this is the way everybody's going to end up. So going to a shiva house gives us perspective. It reminds us that our time in this world is very transient and limited, and it encourages us to do teshuva while we still can before it's too late, because it reminds us that nobody lives forever. So that's the first reason. And the second reason is that it's humbling, and it reminds us of our priorities according to the mitzvah. V'hachai yitein el liboy, ends the pasuk, that the living people should go to a shiva house and take it to heart. Take to heart what's being said about the person who just passed away. Because there's a big difference between resume qualities and eulogy qualities. Resume qualities are things like smart, efficient, good problem solver, and we often place too much of a premium on these kinds of qualities, as opposed to eulogy qualities such as compassionate, generous, empathetic. And when a person visits a house of mourning, we realize that these eulogy qualities, these are the ones that matter, not the resume qualities. The Gemara in Subas says that visiting a house of mourning makes us realize that we have to earn these qualities, and encourages us to do so. So it's a much more productive experience than visiting a house with a party, which is focused on enjoying and living in the moment, as opposed to reflecting and thinking about the direction that our lives are taking. In Pasuk Gimel, we have Tov Kas Mischoik. Anger is better than laughter. And there are two ways of understanding this Pasuk. Firstly, many Mefarshim translate Kas as grief. Grief is better than laughter. Sherry Mendel refers to this in the title of her magnificent book, The Blessing of a Broken Heart. We grow from pain. Fun and pleasure, enjoying the moment, are all very enjoyable, but they're not conducive to personal growth in the way that pain often is. So grief is ultimately better for us than pleasure. Tov kas mischoik. Or alternatively, another way of understanding the pasuk is according to Rashi, based on the Gemara, who says that this refers to the anger of Hashem, which is better than experiencing Hashem's joy. Tov kas mischoik. Again, because it's conducive to our growth. In the same way that the anger of a parent is supposed to be constructive, and if a parent never shows anger, it doesn't help a child to grow. In the same way, experiencing Hashem's anger is a positive thing that propels us to action and makes us improve ourselves. And this leads on to a discussion in the next few psukim about the anger of Chachamim, the anger of sages, in psukim Hei through Zion, 5 through 7. Tov lishmoa garas Chacham mi'ishoy me'ak shir ksilim. It's better to listen to the rebuke of a wise person than to listen to the song of fools. So whilst criticism is uncomfortable, it's constructive, unlike listening to the songs of fools. And in the next pasuk, he compares the songs of fools to thorns under a pot. Thorns make a very big roaring noise, and they fire up quickly, and they fire up dramatically. I can testify to this because I have a fireplace in my house that we use. The small thorny twigs, they catch fire really fast, they crackle loudly, they're dramatic, but they don't provide any lasting heat, says the Talmud Chachma, as opposed to the hard, slow wood that takes a long time to catch. That's the wood that really warms the room. So this pasuk is warning us to beware of the loud noise of fools, loud, dramatic, noisy, hot takes that are lacking in real content and depth. It's not the noisiest voices that are worth hearing. In fact, it's usually the opposite way around. And then finally, in this section or this group of psukim, we have Tov Acharis Dava Mirishasai. The end of something is better than the beginning. You can only evaluate something based on the outcome, says Rashi. At the outset, you don't know how it's going to turn out, so the end is better than the beginning. And because the end is more important than the beginning, it matters so much more than the beginning. You should plan all your actions with the end in mind, says the Ibn Ezra. Tov acharis davar mirishasai. The end of something will be so much better based on how good its beginning was. And Stephen Covey talks about this in his book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, where he talks about beginning with the end in mind. And he describes a very powerful analogy of a person who spends his whole life climbing a ladder, and he gets to the top of the ladder and he looks down and he realizes that it's leaning against the wrong wall. So don't be like this man, says Koheles. Tov acharis dava mirishasai. Choose the correct wall from the outset. Plan the ending from the beginning. Plan your beginning based on the outcome. The next few psukim are broadly advice that are related to wisdom, so we'll divide them into separate sub-themes. So firstly, in Pasuk Yod, Pasuk 10, Al Taimar Mehoya Shehayomim Harishonim Hoyo Tovim Me'ele, Kilo Mechachma She'alta Azeh. Don't look back and say the previous days, the good old days, they were much better than today, because that's not a smart way of thinking. Says that even Ezra, don't attribute your failures to a declining world. Realize that you were given exactly what you need to accomplish your purpose here and now. And then Psukim Yud Aleph and Yud Beis, are talking about how wisdom is much better when it goes together with tradition. Tova Chachma im Nachla. The Medrash says that wisdom that comes together with Masorah, tradition that's passed down through generations, is far superior to wisdom that's based on a person's own theories. Because this kind of wisdom that's passed down from previous generations, it's probably tried and tested, and mistakes are filtered out over generations, and they're not just based on a person's own theory that might be proven wrong. Then in Psukim Yud Gimel Yud Daled, we talk about making good choices. So Re'eis Mas Elokim, Rashi says, see how Hashem has set up the world. Good gets rewarded, bad deeds gets punished. Ki mi yochal l'saken es asher ifsoi. And who can fix that which is crooked? You can't fix or straighten that which you made crooked in your lifetime. So make good decisions now. And b'yom tova heye b'tov uvarom yom ra re'e. On a good day, do good. Targum says, when it's a good day for you and Hashem is doing good for you, use that to do good for others. Rashi says that when you see good, b'yom tova heye b'tov, align yourself with those who are doing good. Be amongst the good doers. But b'yom ra re'e. When there's bad going on, just be an onlooker. Don't be a participant. Align yourself with situations and with people who do good. When you see people volunteering, when you see people contributing, align yourself with them. Participate, join in. When you see machlokas, when you see arguments, when you see toxic behavior, re'eh, just be an onlooker. Stay away. Don't be a participant. Then Psukim Tes 9 through Yod Ches 16 through 18 are about balance in behavior and midas and finding the golden middle way, the Shvil Hazav that's suggested by the Rambam. So he says, Al tehi tzadik harbe, don't be too much of a tzadik. What's the problem with being too righteous? There's a concept in the Gemara called discussed in the Gemara called the Chassid Shaita, a pious fool. And it brings the classic example of somebody who's so pious that he sees a woman drowning in the river and he doesn't want to save her because he doesn't want to look at her. That's not good piety. That's called a Chassid Shaita, a pious fool. When the Mesillas Yesharim describes the Midah of Chassidus, he talks about a Mishkal HaChassidus. Mishkal from the word balance. You need to weigh it out. You need to measure piety. He doesn't describe this for any other Midah, the Mesillas Yesharim. But there's a danger with piety that it becomes the opposite of what it's supposed to be. Don't be too much of a tzaddik. You have to use wisdom together with your tzitzkos, together with your righteousness. And at the same time, says Koheles, Al tischakam yoter. Don't be too wise either. If you recall, in the very first parak, he said that with increased wisdom comes increased pain. And Rashi over there said that this is in reference to Shlomo HaMelech's own experience, because Shlomo attempted to understand the reasons for all the mitzvahs. And specifically, he tried to understand the reasons for the prohibitions of a king, that a king can't marry too many wives. And the reason that the Torah gives is because it will cause him to worship idols. And when Shlomo HaMelech found this, he thought, it doesn't apply to me. I'll be stronger than that. I'll be smarter than that. I can marry lots of wives, I can resist it. But ultimately, these wives caused his downfall. So he warns us, don't be too smart, don't be too clever. And al tirsha harbe, don't be too wicked. So what does that mean? A person should be a little bit wicked? So Rashi explains it as no, it means don't persist in your wicked. If you've sinned, it doesn't mean that you're doomed to be wicked forever. Sometimes we think that I'm wicked, it's too late for me, I've done something wrong, it's too bad, I can never be good now. But al tirsha harbe, don't persist in this. You may be a little bit wicked, but you don't have to be too wicked. You can do teshuvah and you can move on. And when you realize that wisdom brings pain, like we discussed in the second parak, al tihisachol, also don't be a fool. Rather, says Koheles, toiv ashatechos bazeh, grasp onto this one, v'gam mizeh al tanach yadecha, and also don't leave this one. Hold on to both. Because someone who wants to achieve a life of Yiras Hashem, he'll find a balance. He adopts a middle of the road approach. He knows that he needs a little bit of this and a little bit of that. But he also adds two caveats to this advice. So firstly, in Pasuk Yotes in 19, he says, wisdom gives a wise person strength more than the best protection in a city. Wisdom is the best protection, according to Rashi and Ibn Ezra, because it leads a person to contemplate their actions and repent. So even though you shouldn't be too smart, still wisdom is the best protection. And in Pasuk Kaf says, in case you were worried about being too righteous, Ki Adam ein tzadik ba'aretz asher yaseh tov v'lo yechteh. No man is so righteous that he never sins. So you don't have to worry about being too cautious, about not being too righteous. Sukkim Kaf Aleph and Kaf Beis 21 and 22 stand alone in a theme of their own. Gam kol hadavar mashe dabera al titein libcha. Don't pay too much attention to the things that other people say about you. Asher lo sishmas avdecha mekalelecha, because it can also end up in you hearing your own servant talking badly about you. Ki gam pa'amim rabois yodali becha asher gam atah kilalta acherim, and you know that you've also spoken badly about other people at other times. So don't pay too much attention to everything says about you. Sometimes you say negative things about others, so don't be surprised when you're on the receiving end of this. And we often take it very badly when we're on the receiving end of the exact same behaviors that we're guilty of. Don't pay too much attention to those things people say about you. Which is also one of these really relevant points in a day and age where people think they can criticize others online, left, right, and center, but they take it very badly whenever someone says something negative to them. And the final point in this parak is perhaps hard to understand at face value. He says, "Motze ani mar mimaves es ha'isha ashehim tzudim v'charamim liba." He finds that even more bitter than death is woman whose heart is full of traps and full of snares. So how do we make sense of this description, this very negative description of woman? So first of all, Mitzuda says that this refers to an adulterous woman, not women in general. And secondly, the Gemara tells us that this really needs to be read together with what the same author says in Mishlei, Matzah Isha Matzah Toiv, he who finds a woman finds good. And also the poem Eshes Chayil, which was written by the same author and praises a woman with every single letter of the Aleph Beis. Plus, we should read it in context of the fact that in Shlomo HaMelech's personal life, his wives really did cause the downfall of his household. So we're not talking about women in general being bad, but about the fact that a bad woman is very powerful and very difficult to resist. So to summarize this parak only very broadly, because there are so many diverse themes in here, but we started with a question from the end of the last parak: what is good for man in life? And perhaps we can answer based on this parak that in order to find meaning in life, in order ma tov, in order to find good, one needs to accomplish something. It's not about pleasure, so it's not about the parties, but it's about the funerals where we contemplate the meaning of life. It's not about the fun times and the songs of fools, but it's about what you can hear from a chacham that will help you become a better person. And life is not defined by the adventure that lies ahead, but it's defined by the ending and what was accomplished during that time. And as such, it's best planned well from the outset. There'll be consequences for our actions. We should make good decisions. We should be balanced. Don't be too wise. Don't be too foolish. Make good decisions. Thank you for studying together L'Ilui Nishmas Rose Foreman, Razel Rachel Bas Aryeh Leib, and Rachel Zeitlin, Rachel Bas Shlomo.